Okay, lady, now let's get information. I say, okay, lady, now let's get information. You know you that bitch when you cause all this conversation. Always stay gracious, best revenge is your paper.
It's your girl, the Thick Writer Chick, aka the Binge Babe. How y'all doing? You have to forgive me if I sound like hell because it feels like hell. We are literally in Texas frying our asses off like bacon because the air is out in this apartment. But all glory to God. But anywho, so lightning has struck twice. Actually, the one time I've ever had a guest on this show other than last week, it was... How long ago did we do that show, Joseph? Like 2 years?
It's been at least 2 years.
I'm gonna say about 2018. I had one guest, and that was Mr. Joseph, and he is back. So now this will be his what's after a debut?
I don't have a clue.
I don't even know. But
follow up, you know.
So go ahead and introduce yourself to the people.
Yeah, I'm Joe, you know, out of Shreveport, Louisiana. And we got a decent topic today. It's going to be very interesting, you know.
We had a good topic last time, too. And last time we went live, that was the only show I've ever done live. And it actually, some people.
Oh, it did good.
Yeah, we did. It did good. And Jason, introduce yourself.
It's your boy, Jason Craig, the friendly neighborhood dreadhead of the Bring the Popcorn podcast. Today, Texas brought the heat. I'm fucking hot. But can't wait to talk about the situation and how people are fucking weird about it.
Right. I'm gonna say facts, Lord, it's hot as shit. All right, but right on. So I was gonna just do a blog because I feel like, you know, you start to post too many So you start to post too much about something on Facebook, you kind of get all over the place. So I was like, I might just do a blog about the particular subject. But when I asked the people, they was like, "Dear podcast." So I was like, all right. But I didn't want it to be a one-sided podcast or for it to, because I've noticed that things are slowly becoming war of the sexes. And I personally don't believe in that. I feel like both, well, I don't want to say genders because you know how that can go. So I'll say sexes. I feel like both sexes truly do need each other to function. First of all, scientifically speaking, they most definitely need each other. There's no people without dick and pussy. So,
well, not according to Jurassic World.
Unless you live on, unless you are part of the Jurassic World, for all the people that saw the new movie. But it, you know, sometimes things just happen and it immediately becomes like war of the world. And I kind of look at stuff through a different lens. I don't necessarily feel like this is one up for the girls because I don't feel like the goal is to strike. You know, we will never be even with men. Like, even as we speak in, you know, in corporate America, as far as pay, even as far as, you know, in entertainment, women are still getting paid less. There's still a lot of unfair justices towards the sex of women. Like, as we speak, you know, white men are getting together to decide on whether we can have abortions or not. So if there really were a war, we are far behind. And Lori Harvey dumping, I'm about to say Mary J. Blige, it is so hot. So Lori Harvey dumping Michael B. Jordan, if it is a victory, is an extremely small one of little to know, you know, it's very minuscule in a large, if that were the goal. So everybody's talking about, oh, City Girls up. Ma'am, they still haven't made a choice on Roe versus Wade. And and the WNBA is still getting paid far less than the NBA since we are losing, if indeed it is a war. But what I like to do, the only reason I discuss celebrity gossip, if you will, on this podcast is to discuss conversations that I feel we need to have in our community. And when I say our, I am most definitely only talking to Black people. but there's some things I learned just from observing some of the comments made about this particular situation. Not learned, because as a Black woman, some of these things I already know. But sometimes to see, because we're kind of taught at the lower level, as the people who are not part of the 1%, we're kind of taught that there are different rules that apply to people with in a different tax bracket. And when things happen and it's shown to us, oh, that really doesn't make a difference across the board. Like, it doesn't matter that, you know, Lori Harvey has a lot of money. These rules still apparently apply even to her, or vice versa with Michael B. Jordan. So that is the thing I kind of noticed about this is, oh, it doesn't matter, you know, if you're extremely rich and self-sufficient, you're still not allowed to turn down advances, at least from, you know, presumably nice guys or good guys, or, you know, it's just what I gathered from this, from just looking at different people's comments, is almost as if, well, I don't say women because I don't know white women's experience, but black women anyway, we're not allowed to say no. And I thought that was kind of odd, but it's not something I don't know, because I've been with girls before who had, I have been that girl. You have to give someone a fake number because you don't know how they will respond. And, you know, you're with your homegirl and there's this really pushy guy who isn't taking the no. And then it's, you know, well, fuck you then, you was ugly. You know, so I know on our level that that's real. But too, I guess subconsciously, I didn't realize rich women had this problem too.
I mean, they have people too.
Yeah, but yeah.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I think it's a sticky situation though. I feel like that situation maybe a little bit more, what's the right word for it? I don't think that situation is as cut and dry as the situation that you're saying, but I do get what you're saying about the fallout behind it. You know, a lot of people.
I think your audio is kind of messed up a little bit.
Okay. No, I just feel like it's a little bit of a double-edged sword with that topic. You know, I feel like to a certain extent, yeah, women definitely have to deal with, you know, the bratty men that, you know, don't know how to accept no for an answer. But I feel like this situation, I feel like part of the fallout from this situation may have shown some of that, but I don't feel like initially that's the initial response from this situation. I think it was a little bit different, even with both sexes. I feel like people were more triggered by how the situation happened versus, you know, it just being a situation of bratty men and bratty women just being mad at each other. I think a lot of people have projected their personal emotions onto a situation that, you know, we never know, could be completely different than, you know, simple as them breaking up, you know. So, like I said, I got some different opinions on it. I don't see like other people see it.
Right.
I just think it is kind of weird how people are responding to it. But I think that's a lot of personal triggers being, you know, uncovered at this point in time.
I completely agree. I feel like, especially these things, because I woke up to motherfucking think pieces. I'm talking about theses.
Quiet on it.
Right. I mean, just going hammer. And by the time I woke up, it had been shared 100K, you know, yeah. 1K, 2K times. I'm like, damn, y'all ain't even had your cereal yet. And you had time to type up this think piece. When, like you said, neither of them have made an actual statement. So all we really know is hearsay. But yep, what they heard was Lori, who people already kind of identify with as a hoe, dropped the ball or said no to the gloriousness that is Michael B. Jordan. You know, he's been doing all these great things, like flying her out and, you know, getting her fly. I guess the first thing that I saw that went viral was pretty much a long ass statement about how great he's been to her, which, okay, via the pictures. And, you know, we don't know. He could, you know, every time Ike would beat Tina, he would show up with a new gift. Yeah. Fur coats, diamond rings. So that really doesn't mean anything. But I guess because they feel like women are being hypocritical, and y'all can piggyback off this. I don't know. Because we come out as most of us be like, hey, we want a good man. We want a man that puts in effort, et cetera, et cetera. And then Lori Harvey, I guess, rejects Michael B. Jordan's offer to get married. And instead of people just seeing it as what it is, which is, for whatever reason, she just wasn't ready didn't want to marry him. It could have been him. You're right. But people don't realize you have the right to turn anyone you not feeling down. Me personally, I would rather you just be honest with me before we spend life together and you end up making a real fool of me. You know what I'm saying? But
I feel like he won in this situation. If his goal was to be intentional with dating and intentional with marriage, then when you think about it, he actually won in this situation. And I had the utmost respect for her in those regards, because when you think about it, she could have played the game. She could have played the victim. She could have did a lot of things. Right. So let's just say she did play for the last year. She wasn't serious. Well, at least she had enough respect for him to be like, hey, you know what? Yeah, okay, this is going too far. You're in too deep. Does it make it right? No, but this is not a situation of right and wrong, because I feel like right and wrong is in the eye of the beholder. She took the experience as far as she wanted to experience. And when she was tired of the experience and wanted to do something different, she does have the right to change her mind. And like I said, I feel like a lot of people are triggered based on their own personal emotions. And just to start from the women's perspective, the ones who say she fumbled the bag when it comes to Michael B. Jordan, I think people forget to realize that every single one of us has a different goal. In my early 20s, my goal was to be a husband. At this point in my life, I would like to be a husband, but that's not my primary goal. I have other things that I prioritize above that.
Right. So
when I meet a woman, I make sure that I'm clear with that from the beginning. And what I've noticed is, even though I can be clear with my intentions, people by nature are selfish. When they see something in you that you may not necessarily want to embrace about yourself at that point in time, they won't just say, oh, I know this is not what you want. They're more so, well, I know you're saying this is not what you want, but this is what I'm going to do to make you want it. So that's why I say it's a double-edged sword.
Right.
We don't know if she from the jump said, hey, you know what? I like you a lot. I enjoy spending time with you. Let's just get to know each other. It literally could have been like that, and he could have fell in love, you know?
Right.
Or vice versa, you know what I mean? Or is he just wanting to get married because that's the way he's always seen things done? Because, you know, from what I read, he's more of a – comes from a traditional background and a traditional family.
And he's 35. Like you said, we come from a different generation than Lori. I am right there with you. When I was fresh out of high school, it was like, all right, I'm in college. Husband, where you at? Like, not even necessarily taught that way, but it was – it came from somewhere because – 19, I know, and it sounds ridiculous at 33 thinking that at 19 and 20, you know, that this is how I was thinking. I wasn't even old enough to buy liquor, but that's what it was. That is what is instilled in our community for our generation. He is 10 years older than his girl.
Yeah.
She didn't think about a marriage.
And I think people overlook the fact that we grew up like that because we were so close to post-slavery that people are not understanding that marriage was a tool for women. Marriage was not always a benefit for women. Marriage was a tool. They couldn't get bank accounts, couldn't purchase houses, couldn't do certain things without being married. So for them to even be competitive in the game of life, it was a strategic advantage for them to get married earlier. Times have simply just changed. And if we're going to be completely honest, maturity has simply just changed. Women these days have a lot of access to a lot more opportunity. Right. So it's not... So at 25, it would have been, hey, you know what? You need to settle down and get married because basically all your cars are running out. Well, now they got decks and decks and decks of cars that don't always say that the end goal is marriage.
Marriage, yes. And I feel like you said, we don't know for sure if a conversation was had between the two. Yeah. But I do believe if a conversation was had, and she clear-cut said that marriage is not for me, and he chose to move forward with his own intentions. Yeah. That's kind of on him. Like,
that's definitely on him, because I tell people all the time, you're going to play with your own feelings dealing with it. Because I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to tell you clear-cut and dry, hey, this is what I feel. This is where I'm at. And whatever you choose to do with that information, you know, that's on you. And that's why I feel like I said, I feel like a lot of women are triggered because a lot of women haven't had that opportunity. A lot of women have been robbed of their choice because, I mean, historically, a lot of us men, especially in the Black community, tend to date without purpose. We tend to date with the extent with the, you know, we tend to date for fun. We tend to date for sex. We tend to date for entertainment because a lot of us have not been in a situation where we've been taught to date with the purpose of legacy building. So a lot of women are triggered by this. So, I mean, I think they, oh, I'm happy, you know, Michael B. Jordan, he crying tears for all the men, yada, yada, yada. But then you got guys like me who on the other end was like, hey, you know, he wasted a year when, you know, probably been, other guys been in situations. I know guys who've been in situations wasted 4 or 5 years. I know guys who had kids in situations with women who didn't necessarily want them, where everything was basically like a game of chess. So
right.
In my opinion, he won and she won. And I think we should stop pitting them versus each other, because hell, they may be the best of friends who just came to understanding that we don't both want right. The same things at the same time.
Right. And I think, like you said, a lot of people, which is why I wanted to have this conversation, let's dig to the roots, because honestly, none of us know either one of them. To my knowledge, they do little to nothing for the community. So I won't say the hell with them, but that's their business. But the conversation is going on social media amongst the not 1% black folks. Like, it is us having these back and forths. And I would like to get to the root of why. So I feel like men have their own perspective of this, that they've been, I think a lot of self-proclaimed nice guys and good guys do feel very triggered, because they have been Michael B. Jordan. They have invested in women before and did not get what they felt like they were owed.
Yeah, you know, but nobody owes nothing. Like, I hate the nice guy thing too, because you know,
and we have to, and that's what I wanted to talk about from the women's perspective. Yeah. When I said I feel like women aren't really allowed to say no, as far as we have come, not only as a country, y'all can see from some of the events, we still have a long ways to go. We are still people. Another subject for another day, but let's stick to our community. As far as even our community has come, there's still some old thinking that is really holding us back. But I know that there are benefits to some, you know, every day you see a 50-50 argument on the internet every day. And these same men who get on this internet and want 50-50 also want a submissive woman. So you want the benefits of a modern woman. Oh, you can work now, get to working. But also, like your grandma, I need that, you know, I need that steak cooked by 7. I need my dick sucked by 10. It's like, people want to live in both worlds. And the only thing that doesn't grow is a dead thing. Our community is evolving, and that includes the liberation of male counterparts, which is women. We're not our grandmothers. You're right. That's, you might as well just let that drink. There's still plenty of them out there, because
I'll say there's plenty of,
because healing is unlearning, you know, and most of us can't even admit that healing needs to take place. So why would we unlearn?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, someone with this much money and power still kind of being reduced to a man's property is problematic, because if she's dealing with this, the average woman has no chance.
Well, I'm just put my opinion out there, and my opinion is just simple this. All you people that are trying to pick and choose sides between if you're team Lori Harvey or team Michael B. Jordan, y'all flat out weird. Like y'all are just flat out weird. Cause when I was just hearing it, first of all, I'm gonna just address the whole thing of her being known as a hoe. I never saw as that. I've always said humans are mammals too, and what the mammals like to do, they like to have sex. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't make it different if a man has a lot of sex and a woman has a lot of sex. That's their business. It doesn't affect me. I'm not gonna call you a hoe. Now, there are things that you could do that could classify you as that. But what Lori Harvey did, she was dating around with these men. It'd be different if it was multiple partners. Like, I would just say like one night stands. But she was actually with these people, maybe not for a long period of time, but still with these people. But even if she was, oh, well, get the fuck over it. You have other.
And who's to say she slept with all these people?
But I'm just saying. I'm just saying, even if she said, I mean, personally, when I heard this shit, I don't fucking care about Lori Harvey.
Yeah, me neither.
like if anything,
it's not about her. See, here's the thing. Lori Harvey is just a pawn. Like, it's not even about her. It's about
at this point in time.
The ideology behind what she's doing.
No, but like when I say, like, when I'm saying I don't give a fuck about her, I don't give a fuck about her and Michael B. Jordan situation, because unlike everybody else that's making these long ass 10-page thesis, I got a fucking life. I got a life that I've tried to live. I don't, like, whenever people talk about, like...
And also, keep in mind, you are from a different generation. Like he's 28. Yeah. Younger people don't care about that. To younger people, she's really just doing what younger people are supposed to do, which is date, collect the information. It's a yes or a no, on to the next. We come from a generation where you don't date multiple people at once, or you are viewed as a hoe. You put all your eggs in one basket and hope for the best out that basket. And we the 30 and ups, we are just unlearning this.
But like I said, they got to learn faster, because I tell people all the time, like, well, it used to be like this. Like, yeah, and also back in Greece, they men used to fuck each other, and we grown past that.
Have we though?
No, I'm talking about, like, back in Greece, they used to fuck men, women, yeah, and little boys. And we've grown, and well, kind of still trying to grow past that. So it's just the simple fact, I'm just tired of people highlighting their ideologies on other people, because maybe something's going on that we don't fucking know. And I'm just getting tired of hearing Lori Harvey's name being dragged through the mud because she's being human. First of all, they need to talk about her daddy, all them colorful ass suits he be wearing.
First of all, Steve Harvey be stepping, signing, what you talking about?
Nah, some of the suits are eyesores. But that's beside.
I'm telling you, it's not about her. If it wasn't her, it could be another young black woman. It's the ideology behind what she does.
No, I'm just saying, I'm using her as a reference because of the situation.
Well, we all are. That's what the show is about.
Like,
so
people need to stop projecting their lives on these celebrities. I'm gonna tell you right now, these celebrities, they don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They never will. I hate to say it. And
no, don't hate to say it, because it's true. That's why I say the only reason I discuss celebrity gossip is to open the door to a conversation. Well, the community is already having it, because Lori Harvey is not jumping in these comments. These are women and men from Shreveport, Texas. Like, Michael B. Jordan is not responding and making think pieces. We are. So I like that it's opening the door to a conversation. Well, let's talk about it since it's out there. Y'all are men, so I ask y'all. And don't say the politically correct, you know, say what it is. What really bothers men about Lori Harvey?
Since I don't think like them, I don't know. Like, when I first heard about Lori Harvey, I was like, what's the problem? Like, what's the problem? Maybe because they're mad, because I can't pinpoint, because like I said, people are stupid and people are weird, and not just black people, but just humans in general. Right. Humans in general are stupid.
Well, we're here to talk about black folks, and we can't just write it off as stupid and weird. Because
let me finish. Uh-huh. People want to be included, and so if one person hops on the comment, another person going to it, then people want to share the same ideologies as other people, because that's what humans are. They are like cattle. They like to herd their idea. Like, people's ideas are like cattle. They like to be herded.
Okay.
Because some people, they'll say something and they don't really agree with it, but they don't want to go against the grain. Me, I don't care, because the whole idea of marriage is when two people are ready. If one person is not ready and the other person is ready and they break apart, okay, so be it. Chalk it up, learn from it, and keep it moving.
I completely agree. I never felt like Mike was wrong, or okay, he could have stayed, because truth be told, y'all remember what's the name? Jim Jones and his girlfriend Chrissy, who proposed to him over a decade ago. She stayed. So I mean, women do stay with men that are like, I'm not ready to get married yet. But Michael B. Jordan is well within his rights to be like, you know what, this was fun, but you have the right to walk away from a situation. If you don't have to wait on anybody, no matter who you are. So I'm not upset with Michael B. Jordan. If he's ready for marriage now and she don't know when she's going to be, when she will be, he is well within his rights to say, okay, I'm done.
Yeah. And when you're being intentional, those are the type of things that you do.
You move accordingly.
Yeah, when you're dating with a purpose, hey, look, this is my purpose of dating. Once we hit the point in the relationship where, hey, this is not where we're going, we're not headed this direction, that's when it's time to part ways. It's not time to part ways after we hate each other. It's not time to part ways after you're pregnant. It's not time to part ways, you know, after a marriage and now we're trying to get divorced because you really wasn't ready and now you're having second thoughts. No, it's time to part ways when we realize that we're not headed in the same direction. That's when it's time for us to go our separate ways. You know, we have to get out of the habit of we have to fall out, you know, to separate. No, we could be best of friends and just not be right for each other. I feel like a lot of men are triggered because women have made a big fuss about us being intentional. Like I stated, you know, earlier, a lot of men don't date with intention. So I feel like from a man's perspective, the triggering part is, hey, okay, I'm being intentional. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. I'm investing in this direction with a woman. And, you know, the scary part about it is a woman actually does have the right to change her mind. So when you think about it, it's not like business. In business, you invest in something, you pretty much kind of know what you're going to get out. And it doesn't always work. Yes. But if you do the right things in business, typically you get a return on your investment. Well, with dating, it's completely different. And we also live in a world where a lot of women use dating as a tool to, you know, make financial advances and do different things like that. So I feel like as a man, it's kind of triggering, you know, from that standpoint, because it's like, hey, you know, if I court you properly and it's just a game for you, then here I am. I've invested this, my time, my energy and everything for nothing. So I feel like everybody kind of comes with this same emotion of, hey, if I put everything in and I get nothing out, I'm going to feel some type of way. You
right,
know?
Right.
I feel like from a male's perspective, that's kind of triggering because I don't think women understand how expensive dating is. You know, for y'all, it's a little bit different because for the most part, y'all are the ones getting courted. Y'all are not the ones paying for the date. Y'all are not the ones going above and beyond for the attention. You know, mm-hmm. y'all kind of get to sit back a little bit and just pick and choose and play as you see fit. So I feel like that's kind of why men are triggered. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in the same instance, this is the first generation of men that actually have to be likable because.
Amen.
Because in the past, men didn't have to be likable. Men had to have a certain amount of resources. So now women are saying, hey, you know what? We got access to these same resources, guys. So now for me to actually be with you, I got to like you. And that is scary for men because most men haven't been taught how to actually be likable. Men have been.
Do you mind for interject? Because you said some really good points. I wish we could hit them all, but I do want to piggyback off of some of the things you said. I 100% agree. And I was talking to Jason earlier, and we were just discussing how men like Kevin Samuels come to power because he encourages women to settle. And for men that, for the most part, you know, the bare minimum is I've had to have money. Like you said, for the past 50 years, all we've had to do is have a paycheck. And now that is no longer enough. Now we have to have a personality. Oh, that's not even enough because the charming niggas, don't nobody want to deal with them anymore because they players. Now you have to be emotionally intelligent. Oh, not to be. There's so many what I think men see as demands when they were used to doing the bare minimum to get any female attention. And now it's like y'all are asking a bit too much from a group that is used to doing not that much. Like you said, we don't know how expensive dates are, and we're normally the ones doing the courting. I mean, getting courted. I guess once upon a time, that's very true. You know, like I have friends who their moms on the first date, the guy shows up with flowers and purses. That really isn't happening anymore. So right. We're seeing somebody like Michael B. Jordan who is spending thousands on dates. And like you said, it's triggering because nigga, people are feeling like they spent the money. First of all, Michael Jordan's a millionaire. He has probably spent less than 10% of his income or net worth courting Lori Harvey.
Yeah, you gotta think about it.
A small drop in the bucket for him. But for the average man who believes that there's four women to every one man. So I already, if you're asking for too much, guess what I'm gonna do? I'm going on to the next one, but you finally find one that you do want to invest in. And she says, no, you're going to feel a sort of way. So I think like I said, it still stems back to the viewing of women as really little more than property. At this point, we are just talking vacuum cleaners that get on men's nerves. Like, you know, once upon a, like every time I see a man respond to the 50-50 argument, it's always, I'll pay 100%, but you're going to shut the fuck up when I tell you to. So
think about that. That's the opposite. That's the opposite side of the coin, too.
Right. Because
what do women say? Hey, I can't respect you if I got to put in. So you got to think women are actually out here promoting the narrative of, hey, I'll be a good woman to you if I could get a free ride. So we can't just act like it's just men saying, oh, I'm trying to be in complete control. Women are using this to their advantage, too. Hey, I'm tired of doing this. I'm tired of doing this. I don't want to be invested in anything. You know why? Because women are tired of losing. Women are tired of investing, too, and not getting nothing out of it.
Big facts. So, like you said, you know, men. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Like, well, I was just gonna say, I know you said earlier that there were men you knew. I know women who have. I know a girl my age who has dealt with the same dude for 14 years. Their kids are like 11, and he will not propose. She keeps bringing up marriage, and he will not. And I remember a few years ago when we worked together, I was like, sis, it's at the time it was 12 years. I was like, it's been 12 years. He's not going to marry you.
If a man would marry you, he would have married you.
He would have done it by now. And it's like, but there's that comfort. There's that, you know, there's that comfort. There's that cushion. There's that, well, what if I drop him and I try to go get somebody else? You know, there's that. It's because the dating pool is, you know, kind of shitty. So I feel like a lot of people were triggered because Lori got herself not a good one, but an A-list fine black actor, millionaire at that. And AK and air quote fumbled the bag because it's almost like, how dare you? I feel like a lot of women are like, sis, how dare you? We can barely get a text back. And you got Michael B. Jordan wanting to date you despite you having a reputation of being a hoe, and you turned him down.
And wants not just date her. He didn't just date her. He treated
her with respect.
He rolled out the red carpet for her. See, he went against the code though. And that's now you understand why men have a certain code. That's why we don't take the fun girl serious right there, because fun girls don't know how to turn it off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm not mad at her. She has the right to live her life to the fullest, however she wants to. But once again, we have to understand something. For every action, there's a reaction. Celebrities are indirectly influencing. Well, actually, not indirectly. They're directly.
They are. It's called the trickle-down effect. It's very real.
That trickle-down effect is very real. So when you see a woman like Lori play that type of game, it's like it doesn't hurt her because, like I said on Facebook, she got options. She's going to always have options. She's in a different dating pool. You right. know, men of a certain status, they don't care about certain shit. You are a trophy to me. I don't need you to be anything else for me. You're a trophy. So a trophy is going to always have some value because it's going to provide a certain amount of validation, a certain amount of status for a certain level of men. The problem is a lot of people that are taking on these ideals don't have that type of status, and they're not realizing how damaging they've been to their actual life. You know, you can say, right. hey, I want to do this, this, or that. But the truth is, if you don't have a savings, the truth is, if you don't have, you know, a plan for your life, if you don't have notoriety, I mean, let's just be completely honest. Money and looks allow you a different set of rules.
Big facts.
And yeah. it is what it is. My whole point that I said during this conversation, because I never engaged in who was right and who was wrong, because I feel like it's only what's right for you and what's wrong for you. I don't believe right. in what's wrong. But my only thing was a lot of people need to sit back and stop looking through Lori Harvey's lens and go and look in the mirror and look into their own lens. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody, I know you said, you know, Kevin Samuels was telling women to settle, but I heard a little bit different. Kevin Samuels told men that they need to step the fuck up. That, hey, if you think you the man, you big dick Harry, whatever you want to be called, then
not
you
big dick Harry.
I mean, I'm saying you need to step the fuck up. You need to go to work. You need to do this. You know, one of my favorite lines from Kevin Samuels was, her money is no good when she's with me. She shouldn't be doing a motherfucking thing when she's with you. That's what parts of a lot of Kevin Samuels that a lot of people don't mention. But what I'm saying is that you got to step up. But one thing he did, and I know it was triggering to a lot of people because we've all had to feel like we weren't enough. And he was so blunt and so raw with some things. But one thing he definitely did was told us all that, hey, you need to be real about who you are and where you are. You're not going to be a guy out here making 20 damn thousand a year, but you want the baddest girl in the world and you want her to cook, clean, suck, fuck, and shut the hell up. And you have, you're no true benefit to her because market determines your value, regardless of how we want to look at it. If you take a brand new car, and the market says this car is worth $40,000. I don't give a damn if you think it's worth $100,000. Ain't nobody got $100,000 in the market. You get what I'm saying?
No, so, I totally feel that. Well, yeah.
I'm looking at Lori Harvey, and they don't realize that her market value is through the fucking roof.
You hear you?
She's hotter than she ever been. Yes. She ain't lacking no. There are always going to be men to court her. It has been like this since the beginning of time. And in all honesty, men, we are attracted to promiscuous women because we are sexual creatures. So however you want to label her, her market value is only getting bigger. She's still in the public eye. She's doing it. But we don't have the same options. I'm a 5'6 man. I got to handle my shit a little differently than a 6'5 man. You get what I'm saying? Not saying I don't got options, because I got plenty, but I ain't got the same options he got. I got to put something in perspective when I'm doing certain things. But financially, I may have more options than a guy working at McDonald's and Burger King. I could tell a girl, I don't want to go out with you. I'm not spending no money on you until I get ready. You know why? Because I got 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 that's like, hey, well, you ain't got to spend no money on me. I'll take you out on a date. Well, you get what I'm saying? So my options are different. So if a guy is doing 100% of the pursuing, he don't got the same options as a guy who's being pursued.
Okay. You know?
So I feel like we just kind of, we've gotten off track because we see their situation and we try to look at it through their lens.
Yeah.
What they don't understand is Michael B. Jordan can cry all he want, but he can put out one tweet and he can have 100 dates and 100 witch women ready to court him if that's what he wanted to do. So his feelings may be hurt. We don't know. You know what I'm saying? But I can't be triggered by Michael B. Jordan because he a whole different status. You know what I'm saying? He A-list. I ain't even on the list yet. You know?
Hold on, Joseph. Jason want to say something real quick.
Well, I just want to speak on like the whole relationship 50-50 or man has to do everything thing. I had a conversation with my Uber driver early this week, and I brought up the topic of marriage. And she was saying people that still have the old ideologies, for a lot of people in America, it's unrealistic because
big facts.
Because from she gave me some numbers, which I remember them. But if you look at how much the average household made back then in the 50s era, when this whole, like, you know, the whole man take care of the family. If you look at the, like, even though, yes, money, the cost of a dollar was I guess cheaper in a sense. If you look at it from then to now, you have to make you legit. If you just want to be the man in the household making the money, he's going to have to at least make
at least 100K,
like 100K or close to 70. Like I would say
about 70 or above.
Yeah.
And that's if I only have one or two kids.
I'm about to say to take care of a family of four.
And so when people get mad, when women get mad by the 50-50 thing, I don't mind, but I see it to where 50-50, just like not only 50-50 in just financials, but 50-50 in the relationship as well. Because if I come home from a long day, and we both come home from a long day, I'm not going to expect her to do certain things because we're both fucking tired. We're both fucking tired. So so you have to find, if you really do the 50-50, you have to sit down with your partner and map it out, because I hate to say it for a lot of y'all, it's not fucking realistic to have that 50s mentality, because for one, inflation through the fucking roof, might have to start riding a horse to work. But also there's a lot of factors, especially for black people, to where it's kind of harder for you to get the same amount as your white counterpart. So 50-50 is okay as long as y'all have an understanding. So whenever somebody brings it up, I asked them, you have a problem with 50-50? And I asked them why. And she says, well, I feel like the man should be the only one working. I asked them why. She's like, well, I'm a woman. Like, well, but going by the women's suffrage movement ever since back then, y'all wanted equal rights. So, people get to tell me like, oh, you just being sexist. Like, no, I'm not. If you want to be treated equally, I'm going to do that. So I'm going to ask you, why do you feel that way? Because if you really want to be equal, then 50-50 should not be a problem. Now, if it's 75-25, then yeah, that's a problem. But if it's 50-50, then it's manageable.
I always say, anytime I even indulge in those conversations, I always just say this and I leave that as the comment. Do what works for your household. Me personally, I'm okay with 50-50. And maybe that's because that's all I've ever known. But I'm not going to argue down another woman who says, oh, no, it's 100% for me. That doesn't make sense wrong. What I encourage people to do is, like you said, stop trying to put your ideology on somebody else. I promise you there are women out here who will probably do. I have shit.
I got you. I know women. I know women where I wouldn't have to lift a finger.
There are chicks out here who will iron your drawers. But what happens is we get these men they want to go and humble the 100% woman. Why? You just passed up 50-50 women.
That drives me so nuts. You know what? I tell people all the time when it comes to dating, I don't have those issues. They're like, why you don't have those issues? Because I don't date people that go against my belief system.
Facts.
I'm not knocking. I don't care. Listen, if a woman wants a man to pay 100%, hey, that's fine. And in all honesty, I'm a man that I ain't got a damn problem paying 100%. I don't care about taking care of shit. All I care about is shit getting taken care of.
I ain't
fixed my own plate in years. I've never fixed my own food in a relationship. When I'm in a relationship, I can't even tell you what's in the fucking refrigerator. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm not knocking that. But what I do think people also need to pay attention to, they do need to look at the statistics. Statistically, by the age 65, only 5% of people will be financially stable. That's the part that people are not looking at.
And these that is depressing.
These statistics come from the 80s. Only 1% of people since the 80s by age 65 will get rich, right? Only 4% of people by age 65 will be financially stable. So you're talking about 5 out of 100 people will even have enough money to be financially stable where they're not either living off the government. And then another 60+% of those people are flat fucking broke, and the other 30% over 65 are having to go to work day to day to just survive. So when people are having these conversations, it shows a lot of selfishness, and it shows that they're not concerned about legacy building, that they're living in a survival mode. So I don't deal with those conversations because it's all about, what do we need to do to move this family forward? What do we need to do to push this legacy forward? What do we need to do to win? And if you circle back to my old comment where this is the first generation of men that have to be likable, guess what the major fucking key is? When somebody likes you, they don't complain about none of this petty ass shit. But we live in a generation where people are dating people, fucking people, having babies by people that they don't know and they don't like. So the moment somebody asks you to put up or shut up, you're offended. Men are offended because you don't really like this girl enough to go all in for her. You like her enough to put your dick in her. Women are offended because you don't really like this guy enough to go all in for him. You like this guy enough to allow him to do things for you so that your life will be easier. But when it's time to reciprocate, when it's time for y'all to, you know, really get down and say, hey, let's build something. Because, I mean, let's just be honest.
Nobody wants to feel like they got played.
But when you deal with people you like, guess what you don't worry about? You don't worry about getting played. You know why? Because that's what the fuck you want.
Ask Michael B. Jordan.
But hey, guess what? And let me tell you something. Michael B. Jordan was not worried about getting played, was he?
It's other people worried on his behalf.
Because he may not even feel played. That's what, man.
Because we feel played on his behalf.
They're not minding their status. Period. Like, that's a whole different, you know what I'm saying, level of problem that they can't even relate to. Half of these women who saying this shit didn't even come from a damn household with a daddy in it.
So you better stop.
What the hell did you get this idea that somebody was paying something? And then the main people partaking in this conversation, talking about what their granddaddy used to do, you a fucking lie. Your granddaddy is fucking 46 years old. Your granddaddy a little bit older than me, you feel me? So I know damn well he wasn't paying all no fucking bills because your granddad and your grandma were never together in the same fucking house. Your mom didn't even grow up with her daddy in the house. So cut the bullshit. You know what
I'm saying? I'ma just put it this way. I'ma just bring myself into this way. So I think like a lot of people, they have had similar backgrounds to me. I didn't have a father. Well, I did have a father. He went to go get some milk, then he came back, told me I didn't want to be there no more. But that's besides the fact. I didn't have a father, but my mom raised me with the ideology of you got to be the man of the household, but also don't stress yourself too thin. If you got to find someone on the same level as you, because if you have somebody on different levels than you, it's not going to fucking work. And the problem I have with all these people, stop projecting your lives on these celebrities, because you don't have the same lifestyle as a Michael B. Jordan Steve Harvey daughter. You don't have the same luxuries that they do when it comes to financials, dating wise, you don't have that. So stop. What black people need to stop doing, because I see a lot. They look at how other black people are prospering, and instead when black people prosper, instead of them lifting them up, they try to tear them down. I hate seeing that. I've always hated seeing other black people tear other black people down, and that's why my main issue with this whole Lori Harvey and Michael B. Jordan thing is they keep dragging this girl's name through the mud.
Even if Michael would have cheated, Lori would still get talked about because she is viewed a certain
way. And that's what I hate is because somebody can't do what another person does, then they're doing it wrong.
Oh, so is that what you think it's jealousy?
Yeah, I think it. I really do. That's one thing in the black community is jealousy. You see it a lot in the black community.
Yeah, she's a beautiful young woman. You don't think that's jealousy? I mean, let's keep it real. Half the motherfuckers who talking about Lori Harvey couldn't never get
the time of David Lori. Couldn't get a DM back from Lori if they wanted.
They couldn't get her if she was broke.
They would give a whole check to take her out to one date. I don't know why they faking.
They bullshit. And that's my thing. Acting like, oh, she got him. Them same damn lying ass women right now are in somebody's text line crying about, so you really done with me? So you really done with me? Bro, get the fuck out of here. You know what I'm saying? So I be watching that shit. They be the same ones talking about you. I know you didn't fall asleep last night. You must have been with that other girl. The same girls who acting like, you know what I'm saying, Lori just to crush somebody hard, and that's just what they so happy about. Everybody's projecting their own pain. That's all it is. Lori ain't nothing to nobody.
And the thing is, like I said, I used to be one of them hating ass niggas, but when I actually matured and I realized I shouldn't be tearing down somebody just because I'm jealous of them. I should really be building them up, because if I see a black person prosper and have a family, then that should
encourage you. That could be me.
They're raising the next generation to do right, because a lot of millennials and boomers don't want to hear this, but this generation Z and the generation after them coming up, they are projected to be the richest generation out of all generations. And you want to know why? Because they're self-sufficient and they're go-getters.
Agree.
More than any other generation. So that's why I never really got why people hate so much on the future generation.
That's why they hate them, because we didn't have them.
I ain't gonna lie.
It wasn't there. It's like playing for a sports team and y'all didn't get no good equipment, good weight room, good all that shit till you graduate. You pissed off. You feel me?
I mean, and I ain't gonna lie. I am kind of salty that there's some 8-year-olds making $1 million. I'm salty about that, but I'm not dragging these 8-year-olds through the mud.
Right.
I always say to black people, One of the main things that we can do that can help us prosper, if we all were on the same wavelength and stop being jealous of each other and help each other out, we would do a whole lot better. And when people, you're still like, well, look at Black Wall Street, like, yes, Black Wall Street and Lake Lanier, all them other things were a thing. But just because they keep tearing us down, you don't got to quit. Keep on trying to build it.
Right. And let the evolution happen. Like I said, there's so much of wanting to be modern in both men and women, but still holding on to some of those old things. And I admit, women, we're not 100% free of that either. Like he was saying, you have to look at inflation. I'm fine with the chicks that want the 100%. I'm not saying you can't go after that, sis, because best believe there are men out here who will pay every bill you have. However, don't jump on the internet down talking the sister who's going to work while her husband works. If that works for their household, if it helps them build legacy, then just fall back. Let people do what works for them and quit trying to bond us to the past. Like, one thing I like about Gen Z is they're moving forward. They do not care about that old, including Lori Harvey. We need more young girls like her. You don't like that dude? You don't want to deal with this shit? Don't sit there and let no dude pound on you or make a fool of you for years like some of us did. That's why we mad, because we stand
with Tyrone. That's bad right there.
You know, because we stand with Tyrone.
And it hurts.
You know, when I came out of high school, I was a huge pick me. I used to look at these hoes, air quote, getting married, and I'm left here with it. I'm like, what is it? Oh my God, she don't even go to church. I was a huge pick me, and I'm so glad I unlearned that shit, because we used to sit back and talk about girls like Lori Harvey. Meanwhile, you know how they go. Mm-hmm. She ain't hey. She ain't back and forth with no child support foolishness.
And like,
she controls her dating. And we need to teach our daughters to do that. If you go smash them, be safe, because she ain't around here carrying nobody's baby that she don't want to.
Yeah.
That's what you just need. We need to teach our kids that in general. That's a big conversation I have with my sons. I'm going to be honest. It's some girls going to have some problems when they run into my sons, because I've been grooming them since day one to understand their worth, understand their value. Every girl not worth laying down with. You know what I'm saying? Everybody don't get access to your time. Big they want to play these little petty ass games. Then you got to let them play them games, but you don't have to play with them. Knowing something is not beneficial to you. Understanding who you are as a man and what your position is as a man. These are conversations that I have with my teenage sons. So when they go to the dating pool, it's going to be a little different for them. Hell, they're going to be the male version of Lori. Okay, baby, now you coming with too much drama? I got to go. You know what I mean? You got issues already? I got to go. You got baby daddies already? I got to go. Showing them their damn value.
It's hard because, you know, I got kids the same age, and it is hard raising young men with modern values in a still kind of old school world. It is not easy.
Well, I don't think
the world's old school. I just think we're in an old school
era. The thing about the world, it's not old school. It's just humans do not want to move forward because they're comfortable the way the old things are. That's why I'm just going to branch out. That's why I think like there's a lot of prejudice out here and racism out there. Why? It's old ideologies being forced upon future generations.
Okay, you're right. So I want to correct myself. We're not going to cutesy it and say old school. The systems that are in place. It's hard to raise young, modern-minded men with the current systems in place.
And y'all want to know what's so sad? Just to go outside the topic, it's so sad that these systems just now, women in the Middle East are just now starting to get rights. Just think about how long the Middle East has had these ideals. They're just now starting to get rights. And as far as just people in America, people are just now, like he said, starting to know their worth. And like I said, if I'm cool with that, like people should know their worth, because a black woman should not feel less valued than a white woman. It should not be that way. But because that the way things are and the way that some black men tear black women down, I've seen it a lot.
Yeah.
I've had to check some of my friends for doing that.
And there are women who participate in patriarchy too. It's not the same thing is real. So. Yeah.
It's the same way around, but we have to grow past that.
My question is, will we ever let the system go because it has its benefits? It keep like those, like he said, the women that are lined up cooking the plates, that's a benefit.
Yeah.
So if every woman got on the same stuff Lori Harvey is on, oh, you want some bullshit? I don't have to be here. How will that benefit the men who benefit from women who think like our mamas and grandmamas?
You want to know how
it won't work?
They evolve. They evolve and they adapt. Okay, for all the men that call themselves alpha males, if you are a true alpha male and a woman knows her worth, then if you are a true alpha male, you learn how to adapt, because just like alpha males in the wild, alpha males adapt, because if you don't adapt, you'll get eaten.
You die, yeah.
So that's why I've always thought that misogyny and the alpha male shit, it's bullshit.
Well, in our community, because remember, we're focused on black, it's called misogynoir. And I have come to find that men don't really like women. There are a lot of men who view us as fuckable, good enough to sleep with, but don't actually care for and like women. So now you're dealing with a generation of women who are demanding that. You have to listen to me. My emotions are important. Me being tired, that does matter. And like Joseph said, if you got 4 and 5 over here who's still on that old stuff, I'm not finna bother with you.
And I'm gonna be honest. I mean, hey, maybe I'm wrong, but it's a lot of shit I'm just not dealing with till we get to a certain level. Because I feel like that's one thing that has changed with dating, exclusivity. Yeah. If we're not dating exclusive, I personally don't give a fuck about what you're going on. You're not my woman. Now, with my woman, I care. If you're my woman, I'm going to do that. I'm going to be supportive. But your emotional problems that you bringing up on yourself ain't my fucking problem if you're not my woman. You want to date 4 or 5 dudes? Fine. You got the right to do whatever the fuck you want to do, but you got to also understand that every time you take a little bit of something, that you're going to give a little bit of something.
I agree.
You want me to care? Cool. Well, I got to be the only one caring. Or you got to spread that shit out, because I heard you cry last Tuesday. Shit, hit me up next week.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, I'm keeping it real, because you got to understand that the emotional investment is just as important as the financial investment.
It's more important because any nigga can spend money on you, but a dude really listen to you.
That shit's hard. And that shit's even more hard when she's bringing self-inflicted shit on herself because she out here trying to be a fucking player and she tender. So you trying to be a player and you're not built like that. So they're a different type of women. That's why the world would never fully evolve into the point where all of us are all doing the same thing, because then we wouldn't have any balance. We need some girls like Lori to put some shit in perspective, but we also need some good girls to put some shit into perspective.
So is she a bad girl?
She's a bad girl in society's eyes. And I don't mean bad girl as if she's wrong or she's doing something bad. I'm saying as socially acceptable.
It's society's
standards is what hold this community back. And I wish
I completely agree.
And I wish that I'm not going to talk too much longer because I'm fucking hot. Society stands what's holding this community back. And until we make the effort to blame everything else instead of work on ourselves, then we are not going to progress as a community. And I know a lot of people will disagree with me, but like a lot of black people, they hold that blame, but I see it's okay to hold the blame.
Yeah.
But when I see black people hold the blame and not do nothing about it, like
you mean of the system, right?
Yeah. Of just like one of my best friends from high school, we're not friends no more. He always complained that the white man hold him down. Like, okay, what you gonna do? But like, I'm going to get a better job and then put it in charge of our community. He works for Microsoft. And when I followed up with him, he said, have you tried any philanthropy at all? He said, no. I was like, why? Like, right now, I just need to care about myself. But and I told him, you spoke so hard about helping the community, but you're not doing nothing to help the community.
Okay.
And there's a lot of people like that. I have a huge problem with that. There's so many billionaires, black millionaires, and people in the NAACP that all for black people, except when they got to dig a little bit into their own and be unselfish.
Yeah.
Then, I can't do that because this and that. But then, like, well, what happened to putting in for your community? That's when I have a problem.
No, big fact.
I don't have a problem. Like I said, yes, white people have a lot of the blame for our problems. But just like any problem, you can fix that problem yourself. There's always workarounds to everything. And people have found workarounds. Look at Tyler Perry. All them fake-ass wigs he got, he's a billionaire.
Okay, but I will say this. I agree with what you're saying as far as we have to put in the work. And when good men do nothing, like to me, you guys are what I would consider good black men. And not that I'm saying there's bad black men, but there, you know, y'all are good black men. So let's say there are more of you out there. Nobody wants to step up because they feel like, what can I do? You know, but then you have, and I'm sorry, I know you might be a fan of Kevin Samuels. You have people like Kevin Samuels with his ideologies or worse. There have been podcasters who are way worse than him, extremely misogynistic, and they step up. So now you have, you have people like Jason Wilson, who I think is a prominent black podcaster and author, and more black men should listen to him. But because we have somebody over here with the old school, the systematic ideologies, they're going to rally around him because, okay, he supports what I'm trying to do, which is not do the work. What you're saying and what people like Jason Wilson say are, you have to show up emotionally for your woman. You have to show up emotionally for yourself. You have to show up emotionally for your children. You have to be more than a paycheck. Well, I don't want to hear that. That sounds like work. Kevin Samuels is telling these women to just lower your standards.
Well, that's the thing. That's but black people, it's a crab in a barrel mentality. If they feel like one person, like, oh, well, since he's saying this and he's doing well, I should do it too. And you don't always have the luxury to doing that because Kevin Samuels, he was a man that was doing well for himself, had stable income, good looking man. Well, he looked fit until he had a heart attack, but still he looked like a fit, stable man. But I'm sorry. You cannot be out of shape, big, and have them same misogynistic views, because if the women you're going after are doing better than you, you can't expect to approach it the same way as a Kevin Samuels. Right.
But if I agree that women are property anyway, that I'm a man and there's one of me and four of you and you all are desperate and don't you want a husband, I can and do think okay, that way.
I'm gonna just put this. A homeless person from Goodwill can't own a home.
What?
A homeless person that
Joseph, I'm lost.
I'm just saying, like, go there so I can understand what he's saying. That's what.
I'm just saying, a homeless person that lives outside of Goodwill can't own a home. If you have, if you have no value to yourself whatsoever, you can't expect for a woman to be of higher value to you to be your property, because that makes no fucking sense.
Well, what I'm saying is, if the system that's already in place, because like we, it hadn't even been 100 years that women have been able to vote.
Yeah.
So if the system that has already been in place says women are property, and I do have the right to you because I am a man with a paycheck, and I'm trying to hold on to that old ideology, it doesn't matter if you have value or not.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm not talking about men. I'm talking about the men. I'm talking about the men at the bottom of the totem pole, that they like they are not doing well for themselves whatsoever. They can't like they can't hold a job.
They take care of themselves.
Yeah. So people, men like that that try to follow that, that's unrealistic. And like I'm objective when it comes to everything. When I saw Kevin Samuels, even like that sounded wrong. I mean, I get what he was trying to say.
Yeah.
But like, since he's so blunt, and raw with it, it comes off bad. And like something he did say, I didn't agree with. Something I said, like, okay, I never really agreed with him, but I was like, you had me at a certain point. And then when you went on, like, now I'm dropped off.
Right.
So I got what he was saying. But the thing is about men, just I'm going to say black men in general, we were taught young, you have to be strong, hard-willed, not cry when not. For me, like I said, I guess it was different. For me, I was raised by a single black woman from Chicago. And she told me, hey, sometimes it's okay. It's okay to let it out, because when you let it all go, like when you hold it all in, it's going to come out eventually and it might turn out bad. So me, if people call me a bitch because I get emotional sometimes for things that really hurt me, like last 2 weeks ago, I cried on the air about the Uvalde shooting. But as a man, I'm not supposed to cry because something really affects me. Like, no, I feel like that bullshit. Like, because a man, if you tell a man not to be like man to like be like hard skinned and like show no emotion, then you're trying to tell a man not to be fucking human.
No, I completely agree. And that is the downside of the system. That's the downside of patriarchy. See, the good side is I get to run the house, I can tell people what to do, but also you have to be still. That's that downside I talked about. So we have men who, and I'm so glad for it. I think it's so beautiful to hear black men talking about therapy, to show emotions. I teach my boys, we feel all the feels in the Evans household. There is no emotion that's off limit. And like I say, it's hard to raise young men. You know.
I get it. You know, I mean, you know, I think I raised my kids. We into boxing. So it's really, really crazy because that is one of the most barbaric, you know, alpha male sport that you can be in. But one thing I teach all of my students is all emotions are necessary. I get a lot of young kids, and when they come in, their parents are so hard on them sometimes. Why are you crying? You a boy. And I always check their parents. I said, no, they can cry in here. But I always talk to the kid and I say, hey, but I only got one rule about crying. I said, we don't cry to quit. We cry to keep going. Now, to me, what's bothering you? And they's like, it's hard. It's this or that. I say, okay. So you cried about it. It's hard. It's not going to get any easier. So it's okay that you cried, but it's not okay that we stopped just because it got hard. It's not okay that we stopped just because these emotions are overtaking you. That's not okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to keep going until you're done crying. So that's one of my rules. And I use that. And when I first started doing that, everybody was all the other coaches, you know, because I'm so.
They didn't like it. Yeah.
It was like, what the hell? But I got one of the highest performing teams now because I teach them how to channel those emotions and how to use that to slingshot you into a better position, into a more dominant position, how to use it to build you up instead of tearing you down, because you're going to go through some emotions. Hell, there's some days you're going to want to cry. It's some days you're not going to be in the mood to do this shit. But every day you're going to stand up and you're going to be a man because that's what you're supposed to do. And don't let anybody make you feel bad about experiencing your emotions. But what I do believe is experiencing emotions.
Right.
Not dwelling on them.
Yes.
Experience it. Feel what you need to feel so that you can get past it. Because when I try to act like it doesn't hurt, now it doesn't just hurt me outside, it hurts me inside too. But now, since I can't express that pain, it starts to hurt in other places that it wouldn't hurt if I would have just let it out. So
no, you are. First of all, let me commend you for that. I absolutely love that. I hate we moved from Shreveport because I would definitely put my boys in your boxing class. Never have I dealt with a coach who was very okay with all the emotions. And I can't get mad at them because remember, these men are our age. They were raised with, you know, if you cry, girls got it too. You know, if you cry, give you something to cry about. You know, a black mama will tell you have the quickness. So again, we are unlearning stuff that I think that might have benefited us when we first got here. No point in crying because you're still a slave. I get it. But we kept that ideology and we passed it down and it became a system. So now we have these grown men, not all of them, you know, but we have these grown men who feel like, you know, don't come to me with your request as a woman. Don't come to me with your problems as a woman. Don't come to me with nothing because I don't have nothing to give you. I'm not allowed to show emotion, so I can't help you. I'm not emotionally intelligent. Like, that's a word we just started using.
A few years ago.
It's emotional intelligence. So when, like you said, you've been holding in this pain for decades, you get a wife, you get a girlfriend, and that's how you end up with these abusive-ass men because they don't know where else to take this anger.
But you got to also understand that a lot of women don't understand that a lot of women are not emotionally intelligent either.
At all. Because
they see a man express emotion, they have aligned that with weakness. You know, right. I was joking, you know, on social media today, and I said, you know, I told somebody, I was like, shoot, I'll block your whole family tree. And they was like, oh, man, you sassy. I was like, man, anybody that know me know ain't nothing sassy about me. I'm one of the probably most emotionally intelligent, and I'm a masculine man, period. Yeah. You feel what I'm saying? But what you got to understand is, I was like, nah, y'all don't like the fact that when a man is done, that he can cut off access to you, that he does not have to deal with you, that he does not have to listen to you bicker and complain, and he don't have to watch you put on the show and throw slurs and all that. So you call him sassy for protecting his own peace versus entertaining your bullshit. But I say all of that to say, we also have to realize that a lot of times men don't show emotions because they call us gay, they call us this. So what they've done is men are overcompensating.
Right.
Trying to be all of these things to the point where it's so goddamn unhealthy. You know what I mean?
Right. I'm sorry, I just wanted to interject really quick. One status I told you guys about that I woke up and it was shared 100K times. I read the whole thing and I respect whatever perspective they were coming from, but they were pretty much going on a tangent about all Michael B. Jordan had done for her. And then after they listed it, they said, and she rejects him, period. And he's just supposed to take that ? That's the part that made my eyebrow raise, because what's the alternative? Beat the shit out of Lori, embarrass her, drag her across the internet? See, that's that kind of thing.
But that's what happens when you can't express your emotions. You feel like that shit makes sense. That don't make sense.
I'm the only person out of everybody in the discussion that brought that line up. I said, okay, I can respect if he wants to feel hurt, which is fine. He's a human. But you mean he's just supposed to accept that? Well, what's the alternative? That's when I knew women were still viewed as property to a certain degree, because what is the alternative? What is he going to make her do it? She doesn't have the right to say no thank you if I'm not ready.
Black people in general are still viewed as property. I know you say women because that's from your side of the struggle, and I can't relate to that because I'm not a woman. So I just hear you out and try to understand that. But I feel like that shit works both ways, because a lot of women in relationships view their man as property. That's my money. That's my this. That's my this. Mm-hmm. He's mine. You get what I'm saying? So I don't think the property thing kind of just stops with women. I think it's a little bit more harsh because men have, you know, through history been the breadwinners. So typically the money brings control.
Yeah.
But I think now that, you know, that's kind of evening out just a hair, I feel like women are possessing a lot of these, because we still got to think about it. Our generation, the majority of us were raised in single parent homes.
Yeah.
A lot of these ideas that men possess, who taught it to them?
Oh, I'm so glad you said that. I had an ex who was very Kevin Samuelsy, and I won't say his name because he, you know, small circles, but you know my personality, and he was very wokey. And it's like he dated me just to prove that he could control, you know, she one of them type, oh, I'm gonna get her to act right. And so one day, because he had so many stipulations for what we was gonna be like when we got married, and I asked him one day, because I come from a two-parent home. My last name is my dad's name. He did not. I said, you didn't even meet your dad until you was 10. Where are you getting all these ideas from that you're trying to push on us? And why can't we just be ourselves? I used to tell him all the time, all the stuff that you're trying to bully me into doing, I would be more than happy to do if you just let me be me and you just be you. But you're trying to make us into some
some idea that somebody just created out of thin air and said makes sense.
And like, I'm like, where are you getting this from? Because you didn't see this growing up. So is this just something you made up that you're trying to push on me? Because I saw married couples and it's a lot different than what you think it is.
It ain't even close because my people are still married. You know, but and that's why I say it's weird when people say certain things, because I realize that, hey, they really don't have a clue. I mean, just off topic a little bit, but we're just going to use ageism as an example. You know, TV got us thinking that, hey, you know, once you get 40, this or that happens, and in the workplace, you're super old and nobody respects you and all that shit. Man, come on, bro. The average person don't even become an asset to society until between 20 and 25. And if they take good care of themselves, they're able to contribute all the way up to 70 or better. So you mean to tell me that, you know, 40 years old, that's only 15 to 20 years of contribution. You got another 30 to 40 years left, you know what I mean, to contribute. But
yeah,
it makes us feel like, oh, that's old. And I, like I said, we get a lot of these ideas are literally just coming from damn TV and
media. You are right.
And it don't even make sense because it's just good drama, something good to watch. You know, just like the idea of the terrible looking man with the beautiful woman. Man, they ran that shit into the ground. Like, you know, and that's another reason why these niggas is.
And that's why these, like my, like Jason was saying, these people 400 plus pounds at the bottom of the totem pole feel like they have access to a 10 because I
like her. Like, she ain't got the fucking like your big fat sweaty ass. Don't nobody want you on there.
My apologies to anyone that's listening that may be overweight.
Listen, if you're overweight, I do understand. You know, I've lost over 40 something pounds. But the truth is, you got to go look in the motherfucking mirror and you got to be real with yourself. And you had to ask yourself, am I a reflection of my wants and my desires?
And I'm at the
yes. Miles in every day, I'm lifting weights because I am going to become the full manifestation of what I require. Listen, my wife, she gonna be some serious. Right. And I'm not talking about, I ain't talking about on the outside. She gonna be so fucking beautiful inside that it's gonna be ridiculous. But you know what I'm gonna be doing? I'm gonna constantly be working on me. So if I decide that I want to be a husband at some point in time, I'm gonna be prepared for that.
Right.
And look, hell, if I want to just date for the rest of my life, I'm gonna do that too. But I'm gonna look damn good and I'm gonna be highly intelligent, I'm gonna be emotionally intelligent, and what no longer serves me will not have a place in my life. And so people, I'm mad at Lori, you feel me?
And people also, last thing, people need to also I'm talking about myself because I did sometimes too, but people need to also not like just be so centered around outer beauty, because you can find the most beautiful woman in the world and she can be a piece of shit on the inside.
Facts.
So like this is off topic, but like I had an interview with somebody and they were telling me about this actress, beautiful actress, but then he found out, oh, she's a piece of shit person. So when you go for somebody, don't always look for outer beauty, look for inner beauty as well, because that's just as important, probably more important, because unlike inner beauty, outer beauty, that's going to go away eventually.
Unless you're Tina Knowles, she still looks good.
How old is she?
She's like
black don't crack unless you do crack, man. You know that.
Well, I'm right now.
My mama's gorgeous, so I'm good to go.
I've never seen a drop dead gorgeous 90 or 100 year old. Is all I'm saying.
Cicely Tyson, man, you tripping, man.
like you said,
you been nice, George. He was right. She ain't
got but I do want to add, I want to piggyback.
She good for age, though, but
she did. Lord rest his soul. I want to piggyback off what both the fellas said, and you guys have been a great asset to this conversation. Thank you so much. But I just want to piggyback off what they said. Yes, do the work. Find someone that who shares your core values, and that you're willing to reciprocate everything you're asking for, but also be okay with your no. If you get a no, this is from a young man out there, and women too, because this women that go a little bonkers when that rejection finally do come, you know, so.
Because I know I be rejecting. They be mad.
Okay. I like that.
Hey, I'm not gonna lie, that shit be a, it really kind of be a little fun to kind of play with their ego.
Wow, we're gonna unpack that, but
we're gonna talk about that one. But
yeah, you know, teach your sons, and I'm big on this. We say no in my house with everyday things.
It's a so complete sentence.
Right.
It's a complete sentence. You don't need no explanation. No.
Ain't no explanation. And women should not feel scared to death, especially of counterparts who look like us, to say no. It gets scary in real life. Like, I've had niggas yell shit out the window at me at clubs when I keep walking. It is real. And that's the bare minimum. And like you said, it is completely different from a Lori Harvey, because she is in a different tax bracket. You know, if Michael B. Jordan would have went crazy, okay, that's different. But, you know, the fact that people feel appalled that even she cannot reject someone's advances, it says a lot about how far we have to go with the whole liberated women and, you know, just how we can let go of those systems, because they don't serve us anymore. Grandma is in the grave. Lord rest her soul. You know, so these women are getting degrees. They're getting money. They're starting businesses. We just got to go with it. That's what's happening.
I support that. I love it too. I'm glad these women get some money, because you know what? I can't be dating women that can't do nothing for me. That's over.
And like Jason said, it is, baby, inflation is kicking our ass this year.
For real. And if you think I'm finna take care of you and some kids that's not mine on one income, yeah, baby, that's, I'm sorry. I ain't my granddaddy. I ain't working myself to death trying to take care of nobody. Oh, hell no.
But what if you found somebody you really loved her? Like, and y'all are exclusive.
Nah, I'm gonna tell you like this. In all seriousness, I don't date for anything other than balance. I'm mature enough to understand that dating for me is a balancing act. I only need a woman that, because I feel like balance, my definition of balance is when somebody positions you to reach your full potential. So if a woman balances me and I reach my full potential, I may not need her to do this or that financially. I may need her to do this for me emotionally. I may need her to free some time up over here.
Right.
So I feel like that's one thing that we kind of got to get away from. Sometimes women are just better at making money than that man. You know what I mean? So they balance may, and their dynamic may be different than, you know, me and a woman. You know, she might be with him and she got to be the breadwinner. With me, she might just need to be the secretary. You know, with him, she got to be the CEO. So I just feel like I said, all jokes to the left, with me in the dating pool, it's strictly about balance. It's about, can you balance me off mentally, right, emotionally, spiritually, and physically? If we can balance in those, then I'll hit my potential, you'll hit your potential, and then we'll be good together. Because both of us just getting out here getting money, you know, we A-plus when it comes to getting money, but the house falling apart, the kids falling apart, shit dirty, nasty, you know what I'm saying? Kids unhappy, they doing bad simply because we both get money. To me, that's not a win, you know. And in our community, we definitely got to stop.
You need some wins. You're right. You do what works for your household instead of getting caught up in these social media debates. Now you got men and women who've been married for years and 50-50 been working. He thinking he less a man, or she thinking she's been over emasculate.
He's doing too much.
This works for you. Are you guys at peace? Are your kids happy? Is there love in your home? Then keep doing what works for you.
Find something.
Yourself
off of that does not have to do with a couple of dollars, because that's what they did. They basically just stole our self-respect and our pride away from us in exchange for some paper. And that's really what we're talking
about. But I do want to thank both you fellas for joining me on this topic today. I wish I could have had my homegirl Lydia, but I know she has some things to do, so you're here in spirit. But is there anything you want to share with the people, maybe where they can find you?
No, they don't need to be looking for me.
Oh, Lord.
They can find me on Facebook at Joseph Carroll, Instagram at Trillionaire Joe. That's Joe, J-E-A-U. And, you know, I'm always down to talking. You know what I mean? Good conversation, good quality conversation is always a plus, because we need to keep those lines of dialogue open.
We continue
to grow as a community. You know, it's not about us. It's about the ones that's coming behind us. Because, you know, if it wasn't for kids, I could probably be just as dumb as hell, too. I mean, I wouldn't have no reason to be otherwise, but I'm trying to lead the world a little bit better than I found it. So,
big fact, same here. Jason, go ahead.
Well, you guys can find me at Brang the Popcorn. Just type that on all your social medias, Facebook, Instagram. I do have TikTok, but I'm not going to give it to you because I have not put nothing on there. But I have a Facebook group. We're streaming on Twitch now. Just join us for fun conversations of pop culture, serious news topics, and movie and TV reviews, and my constant bashing of horrible movies.
And you know where to find your girl. Your girl got a website. What? www.CourtneyLyricPresents.com. You can also find me on YouTube at Courtney Lyric Presents and TikTok at Courtney Lyric Presents as well. So thank you guys so much for joining me. And thank you guys for tuning in. And God bless.